Good evening, Mr. President. Insurance is on page 71. The proposed FY19 budget for insurance is $1,958,436. That's an increase of $123,039 over the current budget, which is $1,835,397.
Okay, any questions on insurance from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Brian, how does this number go from May 1st, 2018 of 103,031 to 2 months later, 1,913,000?
The trust does its billings where we pay the amount, we pay it over a 2 month period. It'll be paid in June and July for the year.
And what are those two payments, June and July?
Yes.
So you're making a payment in July?
It goes back. It's for fiscal year 2018, and they come due in June and July.
But if you pay it in July, isn't it charged to the next fiscal year?
No, it's the payments for that fiscal year, so it's charged back to that. It's in period 13.
And what are those two payments equal?
Each year, the trust... Yeah, the trust provides an estimate we got this in April. So each year the trust provides an estimate for the upcoming year. They'll then provide us a document. We'll have to go through and update all of our vehicles, all of our property, and they will, it's after the budget's actually done, we'll get an actual number. So the what's in the budget this year is an estimate of the that's our FY18 FY19 estimated premium of the $1,858,000. We had gotten a number last year, the $1,735,000. Our actual amount that will be paid this year is $1,748,936. That amount, that $1,748,936, will be split in half and paid in full. It's split in half and paid over the 2 months, June and July.
So in June and July, you're going to have two equal payments.
Correct.
Totaling $1,748,000?
Correct.
And you're saying that's a guesstimate?
No, well, what we have right now for next year, that is an estimate until...
I mean for this year?
No, that is a true number.
That'll be a true number?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Corley.
Brian, I'm looking at this and it says the first two items. Our insurance premium for the year as of June 30th is $1,735,397. And then we have a $100,000 deductible, so I guess we have to pay the $100,000. Why do we... If we have that insurance and we have that deductible, why do we have the three other categories of 357, 358, and 359 if we have insurance for these coverages? Why aren't they covered?
Some of those are also for... say somebody hits a telephone pole, something like that, or a police car, sorry. It's a better example. Their insurance would pay for that, so that gets cost put there.
I didn't understand. Did you say the police car?
I'm just saying if a member of the public hit a police car, their insurance would pay for that, for the repair, and that cost goes there as well.
If their insurance pays for it,
so
then that would be money coming in. This looks like money going out.
Yeah, money goes out. You'll see on the revenue side, there's a balance in 76.9, forgive me. That's the other side.
You still lost me.
If you look at page...
I'm looking at page 71.
That's the expense side. There's a revenue side that counteracts that as well. It is... page 83, insurance.
83?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, no, that's, sorry, that's, I just picked up the wrong line. 76.9. Insurance proceeds.
Just tell me when you get the page.
Top. 83 at the top. That's what, 10 lines down? There's a 76. We don't actually budget for it because we can't predict that. But that's where you see the expenses coming through.
I'm on page 83.
Yep, about 10 lines down. You'll see 76.9. There are a couple lines.
76901983 insurance proceeds.
Yep.
All right. 169,230. And if we go back to where we started, which is. Okay. All right. I'm back on page 71. The 169,300,
where's that? We don't actually budget for it. I did project for it, but I didn't. We don't budget for it because we can't predict how many accidents there will be.
I'm sorry, I'm just not hearing what you're saying. I'm asking about the expenditures of $43,000, $24,000, and $11,000. That adds up to $78,000.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always reconcile to exactly zero. Sometimes there's a little flow from...
I don't understand why we're paying when we have insurance. And I'm not getting an explanation to explain that.
So there's a portion of... the city has insurance.
I know.
So if a police officer gets in a car, for example... backs into a car, our insurance will cover the cost. If somebody else backs into that police car, the other party's insurance has to pay for that.
Okay. I understand that.
So it costs us money to have the car repaired, to get that dent taken out. Our people repairs that, and it comes out of this account. So if they have to put a new door on that car, that comes out of this account. Then Progressive Insurance sends us a check to cover that. And that goes to the other side, the revenue side.
Okay, so if we have, according to this, we have $78,000 in expenditures and $169,000 in revenue.
That's just in the projection. I don't budget for this. Because it's unpredictable.
If I may, I suppose to put it... in more of lawyer terms than finance terms, it's, I suppose the finance terms would be proceeds, but more of the legal term it would be indemnification?
Sure.
Okay, I think I follow. Thank you. I don't mean to speak for Councilman Corley. I just caught on to this and hoped that maybe this would help clarify.
Thank you. Any other questions from the council? Any questions on insurance from the public? If not, we've been going now for about 4 hours. I know some of you have been able to get up and use the restroom. If somebody could make a 10-minute recess, I appreciate it. A motion for 10-minute recess by Councilman Lattisaw, seconded by Councilman Howe. All those in favor?
Aye.
We'll stand adjourned for 10 minutes. So, just out of courtesy, I know, did we do City Collector? Okay. Sorry about that, Chief. Just out of courtesy to the department heads, obviously We had one late night last night, and it's clear to me, based on my experience, we're not going to get done by midnight. And I think we all have jobs in the morning and would like to have some sleep this week. Rather than keep going to midnight and come back for an hour and a half tomorrow, it's probably a good idea that we kick off around 10 o'clock tonight, depending. I'd like to get through police. And then if we can get through some of these other departments, that would be great. We'll see how far we can get. Thanks for your patience. So we'll start off with City Collector.
Good evening. Kyla Jones, Tax Collector. The proposed budget this year is $857,739.
You got to really close, and you have to speak up a little.
Okay. The proposed budget I have for you.
And you're on page 22, correct?
Yes, sir. $857,739. I don't have any budgetary changes. There are no vacancies and no salary increases other than that of the contract.
And no new positions?
No new positions.
So you just have budgetary increases for raises?
Yes. My increase is $11,558,000. Basically due from last year to this year. And I had someone retire last year, and the position wasn't immediately filled. And this coming fiscal year, I'll have someone there full time.
Okay. Any questions from council members? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for answering those three questions of mine that I've been having right along. That's good. So on the banking lockbox service, how is it going to be going from 34,920 May 1st to 85,000 at the end of June for those fees?
Our bank has scheduled fees for us, and they have not totally been paid out right now. So due to the calculations in the contract they gave us, they should be... They should have billed us more than they have. So I'm expecting it to come all at one time, and I have that breakdown in our contract as well.
So in that code 22, do they invoice us monthly or quarterly, or how do they invoice us?
Randomly.
Randomly?
Absolutely randomly. They don't invoice us. They take it out of the bank account that the money goes into, and they do it completely randomly.
And they've been allowed to do that?
If they don't want their money that quick, they don't want their money that quick.
But how about keeping track of it on our end?
We have a contract.
So you're saying that they're going to be taking out another $50,000 between now and the end of June? What happens if they don't take it out by the end of June? How does that affect this budget?
It'll get accrued back. If it's an expense incurred in this fiscal year, we accrue the expense back.
And as of today, there's still $392,740 in your budget. How do you explain that?
Our professional services line 22360, we have not spent what we have spent in the past couple of years. As you may know, I am newer to this position. I've only been here about 3 years. Prior to me being here, items weren't sent out for collection as they should have been, so we needed to allocate more than normal. This year is year three of sending things to collection. Therefore, I'm expecting to have a little extra money in that line item. And as well as the tax sale line item, you'll notice that there's nothing allocated there yet. Our tax sale is scheduled for June 8th. So I have not been billed yet, by the tax title company because we have not completed our tax sale yet.
Okay, good. You answered my next question as far as the date of the tax sale. So is this a solid number? It's a locked-in number at 200,000?
It's not locked in. It's approximated based upon past years. This tax sale for the general fund portion for taxes was a little bit smaller than it has been in the past. More utility billing and sewer assessment has created up our tax sale. Therefore, I think we may come slightly under it, but I won't know until the day after the tax sale when it's allocated how many properties actually are subject to the tax sale.
Okay, thank you.
Any other council members? Councilman Corley.
Is the banking lockbox services an annual contract?
It's part of the banking contract, which is a 5-year contract through the finance department.
And is it contingent on use of the lockbox? I don't understand.
No, it's a flat rate.
Okay, so they can bill you up to $85,000. So far, they've only billed around $35,000. And
it's supposed to come out monthly, but like Lynn said, they don't always take out their monthly amount.
I understand that, and I understand what they might be able to bill us, and I don't usually kick hornet nests, so I would hope they keep not billing.
Thank you. Any other questions from council members? Any questions from the public? If not, we'll move on to police, Colonel. And the police budget starts on page 29.
Good evening, Mr. President, honorable members of the council. The police department is requesting funds in the amount of $20,408,960. This is an increase of $54,223. It reflects an increase of 0.25% over last year's budget, which was $20,354,737. We feel this is a good budget. It's a little on the lean side, but we feel that we can work under it and still deliver quality police services. Two main areas of the budget that we raised funds. One, I'll turn your attention to 32220, gasoline. We've taken it from 250 last year to 320 due to the rising cost of gasoline. Budget code 3260, uniform vest and miscellaneous gear. We increased it by 24,000 to account for the number of newly hired officers caused by the number of retirements and our efforts to get up to a full complement. I would also mention about police salaries and police to overtime, because I believe both of them are pretty much proportional to each other, and I think that they probably at least deserve some comment at this point. That's 30103 salaries police to and 30109 police overtime. As you can see, we're running a $692,000 surplus, which in at least in our mind, we believe we offset the $290,000 budget that we have for the police to overtime. I would also mention that we have done an analysis of our police to overtime. We spent about 61% of our overtime comes from shift coverages due to sickness, furlough, or comp time that the officers need to take. 31% stems from follow-on investigations and also both in fatal accidents and other serious crimes, which happens in the city. And 8% is devoted for training where we have to fill the vacancies. I would also mention about dispatcher. Dispatcher has been a very challenging situation. We're running $130,990 surplus there with a $90,000 deficit in overtime. That's basically caused to the fact that we've been running for the most part with a manning level of 13, where we actually rate 16. We've just now got two more people, but we're still... think we're all set now, Mr. President.
Okay, thank you.
I'll give you the all clear sign. All right. We've been two people understaffed for most of the year with the dispatchers. We've now come up. We've got the complement up now to 14 from we're still looking for a couple more dispatchers. Hopefully, once we get that under tow, it may help alleviate some of the dispatch overtime. I would just once point out about the personnel. We right now have 170 police officers. We are projecting 9 recruits to start in the Police Academy class, which starts in the end of July. We have 5 officers who just, as you well know, graduated last week. And they are presently in field training now. We have 1 officer out sick, 1 officer OJI, and we have 2 on military leave. And we will open it up for questions. I'll handle any questions, and Major Connor will handle the commodities and service budget codes.
Thanks. Chief, I just wanted to zero in for one sec on your policy. If an officer is sick, we've had that conversation before. What's your protocol? How long is it that the officer can be out without getting a physician's note?
Well, we actually, according to the protocol, we actually have this in the contract. The first thing we do, and I know the question came up about claim strategies, that is our medical coordinator, Ms. Donna Searles. So what we do is we take a look at the monthly reports that they're supposed to provide us with, in which there's supposed to be a diagnosis and a prognosis from the doctor. When we hit, if we hit a long-term situation, whether it's sickness or even with OJI, we can then coordinate with Donna Searles, and we then have the right, if we want to question the medical doctors that the person is going to, we have the right to then to send him to our physician.
And what about a change of shift? How does that work?
Can
you change your shift? How does that work in the
police?
Well,
the change of shifts, obviously during the first and second shifts, our first shift starts off in the morning, if I understand your question correctly. It's pretty quiet initially coming out. And the first thing we do there is we send the police officers out to hit the elementary schools. We hit the elementary schools hard.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I that wasn't what I intended, but I understand what you're saying at the time the shifts change. I'm saying if someone wants to call in, can they change shifts, or is it, do they have to take vacation time, or it has to be a sick excuse?
It is possible that they can ask for a shift change. Somebody can take his place. According to our records, it hasn't happened very often in police. If they do, they have other opportunities. They can take a furlough day. We allow up to 3 people to take a day off on a shift. The commander has the authority. Anything up and beyond that has to get my permission if there's some extraordinary circumstance with the officer.
And so tell me what happens if an officer calls out sick. At what point in time do they need to provide you with a medical note regarding an illness?
If they're out more than 48 hours, 2 days.
So your policy is, and you said that's in your contract?
It's in the contract. It's been agreed upon. It's 2 days. They have to provide a sick note.
And could we just talk about your overtime budget? Could you just review? I know there's overtime 1, I think, and overtime 2. And
yeah,
what
we
you
only
budgeted.
Have 1 police officer in overtime 1. Overtime 2 is the issue. That's why I brought it up, because it does get tied into the salary code.
Okay, so what did you budget for overtime, and what'd you come in at?
I believe it was $950,000, I believe, Councilman. President.
Is that line item 3109? It says...
I'm sorry, 980,000 was the original budget.
Okay. And your actual expenses the year before were $1,223,000.
Correct.
So you budgeted less, and compared to the previous year, you came in $223,000 less than you did the previous year. And why is that?
Well, here again, as I explained before, we have analyzed our Police 2 budget to see where is the money being spent. And once again, I'll point it out again, 61% of that comes to whether the officers are either out sick or when they're on furlough to cover the attrition, or they take comp time. 31% stems from investigations where we have to call police officers back when we have serious crimes, or in the case of an accident recon when we have a fatal accident or a very serious accident. And then 8% is for training, where we send people off for training, but we have to fill vacancies with the minimum manning that we have.
So this didn't have to do with a complement. You had less officers the year before, and so therefore you needed to fill positions, and that's why overtime went up.
That's the way the percentages break down in terms of where we see the overtime being spent. And here again, I have to point out that we have budgeted a complement here for the last two or three years at 175. I think we've probably reached 170 is about as high as we've gotten. And I've explained that before, but I'll go over it real quickly for you. We only run two police academies a year. And I actually had talked to Lieutenant Zarella, who runs the academy, and we were hopefully trying to get 12 people into the academy this year. We're going to get 9. And that was after he and I agreed with it based on us going through our list of recruits. So we're projecting 9 to come in there. That's why I mentioned it before for this academy that will be starting at the end of July.
And my other question you had raised has to do with gasoline at $320,000. What octane is the gas that you're buying?
I'm going to have Major Connor come up here and address that question as part of the commodities, but he's broken it down.
We'd use unbranded 89 octane.
89?
Yes, sir.
And if we used 87, would we see a savings?
I believe we discussed this at finance a couple months ago, and I think the figure came out to about $10,000 to $12,000 in savings, although the 87 octane wasn't recommended with the high-performance engines.
Okay, and you had explained, I think, the gear. Okay, so are there any questions from council members? Yes, Councilman Corley.
You have 175 uniformed officers, and how many people retired during the year?
Right now, this year, we've had 17 people retire this fiscal year, going back to last 1 July of 17, coming up to where we are moving up. I'm projecting right now, today, we have 170 police officers. I am right now projecting that I'm expecting 3 more people to retire before the end of the fiscal year, and I'm projecting by 1 July we'll be at 164. Mm-hmm. So I can get 9 people into the academy, and here again, this will depend upon the attrition, which I can't predict right now, but going into December, when that academy graduates, I'm hoping we'll be somewhere back up in that 170 number, but that, once again, will depend upon people who may retire between 1 July and December of 2018.
So for 6 months, you're going to be running 8 or 9 officers short?
Yes.
And obviously you can't predict on-job injuries. So my question is concerning the overtime. I know that you said 62% of it is from people either on job injuries or some problem with the staffing, and 32% of it is officers that are in the field that get involved in a very serious case where they need to keep working to finish the job. So if 62% of it is contingent on your staffing, I think looking at the numbers that I see here, where it's projected at the end of June is going to be 1.27, and it was hoped that was going to be 980.
We're projecting just a little under 300,000 deficit in the police two overtime. But keep in mind, in the salary code, because we try to budget for the 175, and we try to reach it, we are coming up with a $623,000 surplus. That's why I tried to point out there, because one is inversely correlated to the other.
Okay, I didn't really follow that last explanation, but my point was going to be, I think the $1 million that you have budgeted for the overtime is going to be hard to keep it at that figure if you're running understaffed for at least half the year and not including people that you're going to lose to job injuries.
Well, I can put it this way. Back in 2009, we went from 180 down to 163. Mm-hmm. And we still managed to very effectively run the department, answer the calls for service. We had to do a little bit of bringing things in. We had to reorganize the department in certain areas. But I think we still managed to function and make sure that we answer constituent calls and make sure that when the council calls, that we respond to your requests.
No, and I have absolutely no complaints in that area. And I believe I understand the need for overtime, especially when you don't have a full complement of officers. And I think it has been very commendable with the numbers that I see. I'm just hoping that you're not overly optimistic on the $1 million for overtime, but you seem to have done it in the past, and I have faith that you will continue to do things in the future as you have in the past.
I will say this, Councilman, just as a quick commentary. If we can get up to 175, I think we can do it better. Mm-hmm. I think there's more things. I've already talked to the mayor about some things I think we can do. More importantly, I want to be able to maybe build up a little bit more the community services unit, maybe build up a few more community police officers to get them out there so that if one is on vacation, we can fill in and have a couple of fillers that we can put out there so that they can respond to the requests that you have for the issues that you have out there. Same thing with our traffic division. I mean, I can remember back when we did have the 180. I had a full complement of traffic, and we had six community police officers. Right now, I'm down to four. At the same time, I'm keeping my eye on state, what's going on at the state house. Our schools need a lot of attention. Obviously, school safety right now is a big issue. And we are talking about reinforcing the school squad. Right now, we're covering the junior highs and the high schools with four SROs. And we plan on reinforcing that. And like I said, right now, we're keeping the elementary schools are being handled by our patrol bureau with a plan we call the RAMP plan.
Do you anticipate any additional time that will be needed from your force in order to carry out the red flag protective orders that seems almost certain to become law as quickly
well,
as possible?
Here again, we deal with that a lot. It sort of mirror images the domestic violence statute to some degree. Obviously, there'll be some growing pains there. I think that once we hit 1 July, we'll be taking a hard look at that statute. We'll be establishing some procedures that will have to go into our ops manual, and we'll see how that – we're just going to have to see how it works out. But certainly we're going to be paying a lot of attention to it.
And I haven't seen the last version of it, but it seems the versions that I have seen puts the onus on the department to warehouse the weapons that are confiscated, which is difficult.
We are dealing with that to a degree anyway now with the restraining orders. Mm-hmm. They come in, and when a person has to surrender his weapons. So we are somewhat involved in that already. And I think where the real challenge is going to come here is we have a mental health crisis intervention team. And more now, we're getting more and more calls for service that are more behavioral and mental health related. So we have to spend more time adjusting a lot of things that we're doing, dealing with that problem. And it manifests itself in a lot of different ways, whether you're going to a disturbance call that you keep continuously going to, or you're dealing with somebody that you know has disabilities, and you know the family very well, and we try to get the same policeman, if we can, to work with that situation because they're familiar with it. But that's a situation that at any time is the kinds of situations that we have to pay attention to, because that's the kind of thing that may manifest itself into a more dangerous situation that we may have to use the red flag statute for.
I understand that very well, and I think that the Warwick Department handles that as well or better than any department that I've dealt with in my professional capacity in the state.
I'll try to make this quick. We do have a mental health liaison worker from the Providence Center who works in the police department and works. She's there every day, Maureen Gouveia. She coordinates all our work with the hospital. So when we have to go to a call and we know somebody has to get an evaluation, she's right there coordinating that, and she works on the history with the hospital so that then we can do some follow-up, whether it's going to be with the Kent Center or it's going to be with any one of the mental health centers. So we follow up on that with the mental health crisis intervention team.
Just being open to having civilians assist you in that, because that is their expertise, is a tremendous step forward in safety, and I think it should be commended and should be replicated throughout the state.
Thank you, Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Mr. President. Chief, on 3109, Overtime Police 2, as of today, you've got a total of $1,087,773, and you've projected $1,270,000 as of the end of June. Why is there a $200,000 jump in overtime in 1 month?
$200,000 in 1 month? I would have to take a look at the individual MUNIS entries on that. I'll have to get back to you on that. Okay, I know that in taking a look at them, I've looked at the years, we generally have to average around $18,000 a week in overtime in order if we were to stay at $980,000. I can tell you, but I would really be approximating this. I know there was 1 week at the beginning of the year that we hit $53,000, but that's right around the 4th of July with all the events that we have going on. That sort of accounts for that, but I would have to take a look at and get back to you with an answer as to why we would have a jump in 1 month of $200,000. Unless you can point out the specific month.
Oh, I'm talking.
Okay, you're just
June.
Coming off that. I will try. We will endeavor to get you an answer back on that.
On this report, as of today.
I'm just saying, with the individual MUNIS entries, I would have to take a look at that, and I'd better be able to tell you that.
I think Lynn might have an answer for you, Councilman.
Those projection numbers come from me. And I ran them in the end of April, so it's probably a little aggressive for a projection. I agree.
Okay. Answers that.
I'll try to get back to you with some specifics on that.
Sure. On 3113, holiday reimbursement, as of today, you're $501,220, and you're predicting at the end of June that you're going to spend $686,000, so it's a $185,000 expense in 1 month.
Correct. We have to we budget based on everybody taking money for holiday reimbursement. Some of our officers elect to take comp time instead. So we have to budget the full amount, which is at $830,000. But again, based on back in April predicting what could happen, we went with the 686. Now, we may not get to that if enough of the agency decides to take comp time instead. Some guys would rather have a day off in the summer than have an extra day's pay for that holiday.
So, Major, in 2017, your holiday reimbursement was $580,000. Your reallocated budget in 2018 was $786,000. And you're predicting you're going to use $686,000. I guess we'll have to see where $85,000 comes in the next month. And you're calling for $830,000 in the new budget.
Again, $830,000 is if 175 people all take money for their holiday reimbursement.
So is that
we have to budget for that in the event that they just decide not to take the comp time. So that's why we put that high number in there. That's
but is
the
that assuming 175 officers for the entire year?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Which you don't have.
We don't, but we're budgeted for.
But you won't have.
But we probably will not spend $830,000.
Okay. Bear with me 1 minute. So in salaries, animal control, as of today, it's $109,372, and you're budgeting $137,000 for the next 4 weeks.
Again, it was based on full complement. We ran half the year with only two, and we're at full complement now.
Okay. And then salaries, dispatchers, 3127.
Mm-hmm.
Using the math based upon 581,665 for May 1st, divided by the 10 months times 12 months, it brings me to 698,000. So say 700,000. Is what it brings me at. And you know what, actually just...
A month and a half ago, we had hoped to have hired another two people. And unfortunately, we're still at the 14 mark, where we're complimented for 16. So we haven't gotten to full complement there. But again, we had hoped to reach that mark.
I would also mention during the year, we had two dispatchers that we hired that unfortunately did not work out. So that might skewer that number a little bit too.
Well, as of today, salaries for dispatchers in 3127, you spent $594,000. That's as of today. You were at $581,000 May 1st. So in this month, this current month in May, you've had salaries of $14,000, and what you're projecting out for 1 month is $150,000. That's impossible.
I'll just reiterate what Lynn said, and we're probably a little too aggressive on those projections.
And on the gasoline item, so you run just regular gas in your vehicles. You don't use any diesel.
Correct.
Okay.
We only buy one type of gas.
And what do you have for fuel in your tank right now?
We just filled up on Friday. I didn't have a measurement today, but filling at 10,000, I would assume we have roughly about 8,500.
And with that fill-up that you received today, is that included in the encumbrance?
Yes.
Okay, so that's including 43,587.
And correct. How that encumbrance is based on that drawdown from the new contract.
Okay. How often do you fill up the tank?
About every 2 weeks, every 14 to 16 days.
So you'll have about two more fill-ups in the next month.
We got filled up on Friday. We have not gotten invoiced on that yet, and we are anticipating two more.
Do you top it off to 10,000, or what's your normal fill?
It's a $12,000 tank. We only max fill at 10,000.
Okay.
They we get about 4,000 to 6,000 gallons per delivery. So we never run the fuel tank dry.
So your two deliveries are going to equal a total of 10,000?
Close to it, yeah.
Okay. So the next two deliveries for the remainder of this fiscal year is going to equal about 10,000 gallons of fuel?
Should.
And
yes.
How much are you paying per gallon?
Right now, the latest, so I will give you the average that we've been paying up to this fiscal year. To give you a comparison, the average price in 2017 was $1.90 a gallon. The average price so far in 2018 was $2.19, and it's been steadily going up. Our last five deliveries average $2.39, and we anticipate that this last one, although we have not gotten an invoice yet and I haven't gotten a price, we anticipate that being north of $2.45.
Okay.
So we're going up.
So we'll call it $2.45. How many, on your cars, whether the cars or the SUVs, mm-hmm. How many miles do you average per year on each of these vehicles?
Depending on the vehicle, the frontline cars, we don't want to put more than 35, 40,000 miles on them. But when we're in a car crisis, we could put 50 or 60,000 miles on them. I will say this, we are using more gallons. Less gallons. We're on pace. The cars that we're buying nowadays have better fuel mileage, the Taurus versus a Crown Vic. And even the Explorers are a little better than the old Tauruses. And we're actually on pace to use about 5,000 to 6,000 gallons less this year than in past years.
In this new fiscal year?
Correct.
5,000 to 6,000 gallons
less? No, in 18. In 18.
In this fiscal year?
This fiscal
okay.
year, we're on pace. I can't estimate what we're going to be using for gallons.
Now, Major, your vehicles, you said about 35,000 a year, maybe 40 max. Your vehicles are on the road, essentially, your frontline vehicles. It's 24/7, right?
No. We have a fleet rotation plan. Some of them do get used that much if we have cars that are out of service. But the goal that we set forth with is to have the cars go out 16 hours a day and always have an 8-hour rest period. Now, in the height of detail season, sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes a car gets put on patrol for 16 hours, and then it sits in idle mode on a detail for 8 hours.
That's not a preferable situation for us. According to every best practice, what we're talking about here, the procedure that we're talking about right now, is the best way to get, because if not, it's going to manifest itself in your maintenance budget. If we have to start getting up in that 60,000, then the maintenance budget is going to have to work. It's going to take some serious hits.
Councilman, but I think we had agreed 10 o'clock, since we're going to have to come back tomorrow, and I know some of us have work.
True.
So why don't I entertain a motion to continue the hearing. We'll start with police. There's four. We still have police grants, Board of Public Safety, alcohol and safety, and organized crime, which I don't think we get through. So
make a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion. Do I have a second? Motion to continue the meeting
until
tomorrow at 5.
Until tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Do I have a second? Councilman Howe, all is in favor? Aye. All is opposed? We stand adjourned until tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I mean, 5 o'clock.